Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 16, says that Jesus appeared to them in a different form. In Luke, it just says that Jesus was kept from being recognized by them. It's another one of those stories that I love. It picks up right after Easter Sunday, what we celebrated last week. The empty tomb, and these guys are walking along the road with Jesus, not knowing that it's Jesus. And they tell him the story and say, we'd really hoped that he'd been the one. And Jesus says, you foolish people. You don't get it. Still, do you? And then he walked them all the way through the scriptures. Still, they don't get it. They don't know Jesus is the person who they're talking about. But then, they sit down and have a meal together. And when Jesus breaks the bread, their eyes are open. There's something powerful about that meal. And that's where we're going tonight. So, would you pray with me? And we'll dig in. Thank you, God, for these two travelers. And for Jesus who journeyed with them. Help us to look at this passage clearly and well and to see what you would have for us in our daily journeys. Speak to us, we pray. Help us to listen and be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. My thought tonight was to do this sermon a little bit differently. I'm going to show you a really good way to dig into a passage, and we're going to dig in together. For me, one of the methods I learned to study in order to preach or to teach is to ask three questions. What, so what, and now what? But because of the if gathering, we're actually going to ask the questions what, so what, and what if? And we'll ask those same questions at the end. If this is really true, what does it mean? What does it say about God, the world, and me? So, this is last week's work. It's good, but we'll start talking about this week. And we'll ask these two questions, what and so what, first. If you don't have a Bible with you, or if you have a Bible with you, I would invite you to take it out. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, we've got some at the back table there. I want us to look at the passage together, and we're going to first ask the question, what? What happened? What's this story all about? And we'll make a list of those, and then we'll ask the so what question. I knew that was going to happen. So Luke chapter 24, starting with verse 13. And we'll start with these easy questions. What? What happened? What's the action? What's going on? Ready? Shout out some answers and I'll capture them up here.
Two guys walking to the
road. Does it say that they're guys?
No.
Two followers.
I know one of them's named Cleopas, though, later on.
Two followers of Jesus. They're walking. They're talking. They're talking about what happened with each other. Jesus shows up. Let's see. They don't. Jesus shows up and they don't recognize him. There's a bunch of stuff we could say about other things right now. I just want to get some more observations up here and then we'll jump back and talk about them. What else do you see?
He asks them what they're talking about.
So Jesus joins the conversation. Specifically asking them, what are you talking about? Good. Do they answer well?
They stop walking.
They stop walking? So they stop walking. Then what?
They basically say, where have you been, buddy? You're the only one who hasn't heard all of these tests.
Have you been living under a rock? Then?
He asked him to explain anyway.
So tell me about that. Yeah, what just happened? Huh. And so they tell him.
He's coming out the phone. We were hoping that it was the one that was in the house. But it's been the third day. And so they were
Yeah, when you play that phrase back in your mind, how does Cleopas or Cleopas's companion say that? Is that upbeat or is that utterly defeated? We were hoping he'd be the one, but it's the third day. And then?
Jesus called him foolish.
You don't have anything nice to say.
You foolish people.
Why would he call them foolish? You should know better. That's one of the characteristics of a fool. They should know better. And that's what he's saying. You should have known. But he doesn't just wag his finger at him. What does he do next? And when Luke talks about Scripture, what is he talking about?
The Old
Testament, yep. Jesus walks them through the Old Testament, showing them where the Scripture points to him. Wouldn't that be an awesome Bible study to sit in? Wow. Okay, so Jesus walks them through. Do they get it yet?
Not yet.
Even having the master teach it, lay it out for them. Not yet. So then the story continues. What happens next? Yeah, I love this part of the story. They get to Emmaus, and what does Jesus do? He pretends that he's going to keep going. Text says that he pretends. Huh. Oh, would you like to come in and have a dinner with me? Would you like to sit and eat? So, Jesus pretends. They invite him in. They extend hospitality. And that invitation, that opening of their doors, changes the story completely. From something where it was kind of sad and moping. We were hoping that he is the one, but it's been 3 days. But here, what happens at the table?
He breaks the bread.
Jesus does.
And then they recognize.
Yes! Their eyes are opened as Jesus is breaking the bread. And then?
Poof.
Poof! I don't know if it actually made that noise, but I think it should have. Maybe a little sizzle. I don't know. He's just gone. Removed from their presence. Story doesn't end yet.
They go back.
Where do they go?
Jerusalem.
Okay.
First they kind of said, wait a second. Was he not just here? Were our hearts burning within while he talked with us? Like, wait, what just happened?
Let's see. I think it's, did not our hearts
burn within us?
Burn within us. Then they start to have this really recent memory of saying, yeah, I knew something. Did that happen to you too? Did they have that moment before they head back? They go back to the 11 in Jerusalem. Who do they find there? The 11. Okay, good. and what happens there to wrap this up in a nutshell? Do the 11 believe these two?
Yes.
Why?
Because it appeared to Simon.
Yes. Witnesses. This because it looks like these two, Cleopas and the other disciple, had left after the women got back, before Peter got back. So now that a man has seen it too, all right, we'll believe it. So they tell the story. And what's the core of the belief? What's the thing that they settle on?
The Lord has risen.
Great. This is a lot of what? We actually just kind of paraphrased those 22 verses, 23 verses. This is a really good text to do this sort of thing. The narrative types where the author is telling a story. So make sure that you know the story. And then we ask the important question. I would say it's really important to know what happened. It's also important to then go a little bit deeper and say, well, what difference does that make? Well, these are sticky. Okay. I didn't dump it over. All right. So what? Why? So another way to ask the question, so what? Do you think it matters that there were two?
Yes.
Why?
If one guy shows up and says, I just saw the Lord, people might look at him like, you're not. But two people would claim the same thing.
Yep. Yes. Kind of the same thing as what happens when they go back to the 11. They hear their story corroborated. Someone else has seen Jesus. And also with Jewish law, witness of one isn't enough for a guilty verdict. Isn't enough to prove your case. You need to have two witnesses. They need to be male witnesses this time. It's very possible later on in Acts, so in the second version or the second book in the series by Luke, Acts, we are introduced to Cleopas's wife. So it's very possible that this is Cleopas and his wife walking to Emmaus. For you trivia people, how far was it from Jerusalem to Emmaus? About 7 miles. Any of you read the footnote? How long is that actually?
11 kilometers.
11 kilometers, 60 stadia. How long does it take to walk 7 miles?
Well, it took me about two and a half hours to walk.
Okay, so about 2 hours, give or take. Google said 105 minutes. Of course, it depends on how fast you walk. Right, good. So they walk the 7 miles, and the whole time they're talking. I think that time frame matters. We'll get back to it towards the end. They're talking about what has happened. Well, it's only natural, right? They had this hope that we got to on the next page. Their hopes have just been crushed. So as they're walking, that sounds pretty natural. Jesus shows up. So what? Does that mean anything to you?
They wouldn't have believed it if there was anyone, but they didn't believe the tomb.
Ha ha! They'd already heard the story that Jesus had left the tomb. Jesus himself shows up. They weren't going to believe anybody else right at that moment. Good. They didn't recognize him. Have you ever seen someone you know that you knew, but because they're out of their context, you don't recognize them? Do you think it was that?
I mean, they probably weren't expecting Jesus to show up. I feel like they believed he had rose grave and be walk up on three, you know, to them.
And to them. Have you ever heard of Cleopas before this passage? Not one of the 12. Could have been one of the 72 that were sent out. Could have been part of the 120. But until this point, we're not on a first name basis with Cleopas. Not the most important people in the movement. But Jesus himself shows up to them in the middle of their doubts. Jesus shows up. I think that's important.
They had already told themselves it didn't happen, pretty much, too. Right? Did they agree that it didn't happen?
What do you think? Especially those of you who are worriers, who are doubters.
I think they probably did.
Yeah. Say that last part.
That's why they were leaving.
They were leaving Jerusalem. They were going back home.
I think there's something, and I'm not sure what, something significant as we're going through this, about the fact that it didn't rise again and like this power and glory, and you know, he kind of rose again the way he came into the world, subtly and quiet, yeah, and waiting for people to figure out who he was. Not this, ha, told you I'd do it thing, you know.
He didn't come up to them and introduce himself or say, hey, I'm Jesus, so this happened. He just didn't say that.
Yeah, think about that. And all this time that they're together, Jesus never says to them, I'm Jesus.
Going a little further, he talked about how he didn't saw that whole phrase of actions speak louder than words, let his actions speak.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't prideful.
Yeah. Have you ever been walking or doing a task, and you start that conversation, and the next thing you realize, you're no longer doing the task, you're no longer walking because you are so in-depth in that conversation. Has that ever happened to you? That happens to them. They're deeply engaged. So they ask, are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's going on? And they tell them the story from their perspective. For me, this is one of the saddest phrases in all of Luke. We were hoping that he'd be the one. It's right up there with John's question when John is in prison, sending his disciples to Jesus. Are you the Messiah, or should we wait for somebody else? So this couple that were close enough to the movement that Jesus would show up to them, they know the story, they know what it's about, they still have deep, deep doubt. Your doubts, your questions are okay.
And in love with that, that Jesus takes time to listen. He hears, he just lets them talk and share with him their feelings before he begins to instruct them and walk through them. He's so unreal. Mm-hmm.
Jesus does call them foolish. But that's after really hearing their story, hearing their heart. They express their disappointment. They even tell the story of it. I wonder if the story included when they started to follow Jesus, and Jesus is like, I know, I saw you. I was there, exactly. So after hearing, Jesus then walks them through, probably gently, the word that he also. Jesus walks them through all of the scripture up until that point.
I think that's because, yeah, back in that time, like, it was expected you knew a lot of the scripture, but to know every single thing about it, and you weren't a priest.
How do you not get it?
If he just looks like a casual person, but he knows all that, that was Jesus' thing. Something. That was his main
thing. The shtick, yeah.
The average guy, he just came into that, like, if someone came up and casual and knew all that stuff, I'd question their casual. Like, I question their appearance. Be like, this isn't really you.
Right.
You're hiding.
Where are the cameras? Not even bombs. You know? Yeah. Jesus takes the time to explain. Walk them through. That sounds like everything. You can talk about a lot in 2 hours.
Is it significant that he started with Moses?
Moses would refer to most likely the books of Moses, mm-hmm. which is the Torah, so the first five. So I think that means he went all the way back to the beginning. Yeah, so he taught them from the scriptures all the way back to Moses, and then up through Moses, and then the writings and the prophets. So it's likely saying he covered it all. Could also be referring to the fact that Jesus is the culmination of the law that Moses brought. Could be that. Starting with Moses. Why do you think, this is one of my biggest questions about this passage, why do you think Jesus pretends?
He wants to imitate the
answer.
He's trying to see if they understood what's happening. Yeah. He's not going to be with you in this, invite him.
Yeah. It's almost like he still have that hope before that. I mean, it'd be much easier if we're standing right there.
Yeah, that's what we tell ourselves.
You know, but, yeah, right. But.
I would agree. I think it's a test. I think Jesus is looking for that invitation. And they pass. They pass the test. They extend the invitation. So what? Jesus breaks bread. What's the big deal?
They were there.
It's very likely that they were at the Last Supper, or they were at one of the feeding miracles when Jesus fed the 3,000 and the 5,000. Because the same phrase is used. Took bread, blessed it, broke it to them. Broke it, gave it to them. So likely Jesus had a way, a liturgy, phrases that he repeated. Then that they recognized it.
And he was there the whole time, and they had to reach out and accept that it was him. He's literally right in front of their face.
Right.
So that just shows that us as people can do that too. We can just block them out. We don't recognize them, and then when we do, actually, he's just right. It's him. There's no question.
Well, whether they believed or they didn't believe what he's teaching, they wouldn't have gone back to share had he not done it.
Yeah. It's the invitation to sit down at dinner where the breaking of bread happens that gives them a story to tell to go and leave. There is something about that closer connection that makes the rest of the story possible.
It's getting dark.
Yeah.
No.
Okay, thank you. For me, this says something about the sort of hospitality that Jesus followers are supposed to walk. This passage for me is part of the reason we do what we do. That we eat together, we tell stories together at the table first. Because something can happen at the table when Jesus is introduced by the breaking of bread. I love that poof. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Does that tell you anything about Jesus?
He was just subtle, but he's inconsistent.
Not subtle. True. Has Jesus done this before? In the Gospel of Luke.
With the holes in the someone didn't believe in each other in the hand.
Yeah. Thomas. And that one's not in Luke. But you're right. It kind of shows up.
But he had never just up here.
So this is the first time he does the poof thing. What's different this time? Because I think this is important. He's got a new body. This is Jesus post-death, post-resurrection.
Fully God.
There's something different about Jesus now. Normal human beings, okay, unless you're a ninja, you can't do this.
I always wanted to say that in the sermon.
And I got it recorded. So normal human beings can't just go poof and disappear. There's something substantially different about Jesus now. That's important. So after Jesus does his disappearing thing, they're left slack-jawed talking to each other. Yeah, didn't you think? You know, there was something different about that guy, right? It's like, yeah. Granted, people in Jesus' day didn't have cars. They were used to walking. It's the end of the day. They've already walked the 60 stadia. Would you want to go back?
Maybe
tomorrow. Seriously. This has been a trying week. Think about it. This was 7 days ago was Jesus and palm branches. Woohoo! Hosanna! Crazy week. Exhausted. Celebrating. It was Passover. That's why they were in Jerusalem. But they don't stay at their home, where it's comfortable in Jerusalem. Thank you, in Emmaus. They go back to Jerusalem. They return to the 11. Why is it 11?
Judas.
Judas has dispatched himself. So only 11. They go back. If you were Cleopas or the other disciple, what would you feel knocking on the door, going into the room to meet the 11 with this story?
Apprehensive.
Why?
They might not believe it.
They might not believe it.
Yeah. But excited at the same time.
Right. Because not only did you just see Jesus and you got to have a long conversation and you opened your eyes, but he did the poof thing. And he did the bread thing.
I'm still in shock.
I would assume that they're still in shock. Yeah, I would assume that they had a smile on their face that you couldn't take off for a week. Do you remember that time he was walking and telling the story? And again, it ends with this. When they got into the room and they were together, other people had the same story, similar sorts of experiences, and it was clear to them. Jesus did what he said he would do. He rose from the dead. They never got it before this. So I want to get to the most important question. What is important? You need to know the story. I think it's important to take that next step and ask some of the deeper questions and dig in a little bit, the so what or the whys. But if it only stays at the whys, the so what's, it's not enough. I want us to make sure that we get to the application. What does this mean for my life? So these are the questions that the what if or the if gathering asks. If you believe this story is true, what does this passage say about God? What does this passage say about the world? And what does it say about you? Do you live your life differently next week because this story is true?
Then they turned around and headed back, which they weren't going to sleep anyway, but, you know. But just that sense of urgency, we have that sense of urgency. Well, I have that sense of urgency,
too. You have to hear this. This is good news. I love that.
I think Dory also said you have to take that long walk, you have to take that journey and go through those lessons of because then there's the Old Testament and everything else. You have to go through all that and then still invite Jesus into your home before you fully reveal it.
Yeah, good.
I think for me, it, just because a story is told or something is told about Jesus, it doesn't mean it's true until I do the footwork and, you know, or, you know, if someone says something, trying to figure out, is this true? Just taking the time, especially when it comes, you know, someone says something against Jesus or, you know, Jesus thought this, like, you don't believe it for face value, but look into it, dive into it, reflect, read the Bible, find the proof.
Okay. There are some of you who you really need Jesus to show up in person if you're going to believe. Jesus says to Thomas when Jesus shows up his hands. You see, but that's why you believe. Blessed are those two who do not see and yet believe. So the goal is to take God at his word, to believe those right things about Jesus and not have to need the proof. But there are some of us who need to take that 2-hour walk with Jesus in order for, and even for Cleopas and the other disciple, that wasn't enough. 2-hour one-on-one Bible study with Jesus wasn't enough. It happened in overtime. It happened in the table.
Why they were talking to me, I just never thought about that. It is really cool that Jesus.
Do you remember back in, so this is Luke 24, 9 chapters previous, Luke 15, the lost sheep. Jesus leaves the 99 to go after the one that's wandered away. And here we see 2 wandering away. That to me sounds like the picture of Jesus that Luke wants people to know. You matter. Your questions matter. Your doubts matter. And Jesus will meet you where you are. Anything else? Okay.
It was more of the, there's another poof.
Yes, there is another poof. That's why I spent a little time with the poof. Come back next week. We'll talk about the other one. I want you to study the Bible like this. I don't want you to just read. Just reading the Bible is good. And there is merit, there is value there. But I want you to, from time to time, take time to not just read the what and know the story, but to dig in and ask the deeper question. Ask the so what. And then make sure that you take the time to also think about the what now. The what if. I love these questions and their simplicity. But also it's the what now. If I believe that this is truly God's word, and if I believe that this is true, what does my life look like differently because this is true? It takes time. But like Carrie said, Carrie's likely read this story before. But still, it's when you take the time and read it again, God speaks to you, God speaks to me again. And you have some of these insights because a lot of you have been here from the beginning of Luke. Now, this is week 32 in a 33-week series. You guys have spent time. You have journeyed with Jesus and Luke. You know Jesus' character, and you think, yeah, that sounds like Jesus. The more time you spend in God's Word, the more you get to understand Jesus' character. And that's a good thing. Pray with me. Thank you, God, that this is true. Thank you for the way that you showed up and you blessed these two people who we didn't know ahead of time. Thank you for the ways that you have done that with us, when you have been subtle and gentle and you have given us exactly what we need. Help us to know what this means for us in this season that we find ourselves in. It could be a message about a journey and the hard work of walking those miles. It could be a message about listening well. It could be about hospitality. It could be about your heart for people who are lost and lonely and confused. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be different this week because of our time at your table, because we have heard your words about bread broken, about blood poured out. May that forever change us in a way that blesses the people around us and not only us. Thank you, God, for this time together. Amen. Again, it's my privilege to end each service with the blessing that God has given to bless his people by. So I'd like to give you the benediction. Each week I invite you to hold out your hands as if you're ready to receive something. So I invite you to do that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Have a great week.